News yesterday that the Minister of Social Development, Lindiwe Zulu, has withdrawn her department's green paper on the controversial state pension plan. The Comprehensive Social Security and Retirement Reform, that's what it's called, was gazetted 2 weeks ago. And the withdrawal was gazetted late yesterday. No reason was given, but the latest development follows an outcry after the paper proposed that all South African earners pay up to 12% of their income into a new government-managed investment fund. So the proposed new National Social Security Fund would have provided retirement, disability benefits and unemployment benefits to all South Africans. But there was an outcry from big business. The proposal would have had a devastating impact on South Africa's investment industry because retirement investments and other savings would have been channeled to the NSSF instead. So let's get some reaction now from Studies in Poverty and Inequality Institute Director Isabel Fry, who was part of the community constituency at NEDLAC when this fund was proposed. Isabel joining us now to discuss this. Thank you very much for your time. Isabel, what's your reaction to this move from the minister to now withdraw the green paper?
Thanks for the invitation to share my views on this, Nandi, and greetings to your listeners. I think that we need to understand the full process around this. The way that it has been presented over the last 2 weeks has been really unfair. So to start off, I'm very disappointed that the green paper has been withdrawn. And I think that the way in which the minister's been projected, also by the media, but definitely by the business and some parts of government, has been really unfair. So we have been part of a process at NEDLAC, we being community constituency, which is the civil society representation, as well as organized business, organized labor, as well, and government for at least 8 years. We started talking about this early around 2008, and then we were called back when government released its discussion paper. The ideas are not new. They came from the Taylor Report, which was launched in 2002. And there's been a lot of work at different times on different parts of it. So the reason why I say it's unfair is that representatives from organized business, from the very sector who have gotten hot under the collar in the last 2 weeks, signed off on the proposals around the discussion. So what is in the green paper has been worked on incredibly fine detail. We've commissioned research into the impact on investments, as well as the kinds of modelling that would be required for savings, and that's really been done in a huge degree of detail, and that work was finished about 3 weeks ago. So both National Treasury was represented in that, as well as representatives of the pension fund industry.
So the impression that I seem to get is that NEDLAC is saying that the Green Paper largely ignored the business sector's inputs, and we've seen Alexander Forbes and some others coming out about this. So is this big business strong-arming government in reaction to what was tabled?
I think it goes to the heart of what negotiations are. So for a long time, we worked as the four social partners on a matrix of areas of agreement and disagreement. And where we disagreed, we tried to convince the other social partners, and where that where we weren't able to, that was tabled into the matrix. What we then saw was 2 to 3 weeks before the finalization of our work, organized business then submitted their positions on what they said had not been taken on board in the negotiations from their positions. And we as community objected. We said that negotiations are about the art of persuasion. And if we've gone through a process and you haven't been able to persuade us, then for you to put your positions as they are in their entirety into the final report speaks to the integrity of the negotiation process. And so through our intervention, we persuaded the other social partners to agree that businesses' proposals would be put in as an annexure. And so they were not part of the report. But that's why at the beginning I said that as a member of the negotiating team, I cannot say that the recent responses by organized business and National Treasury are completely in good faith.
Mm. So Isabel, is the impression now that this is off the table? The department saying in its statement it expects to release the paper as soon as these issues have been addressed. So it's not the end of this concept. It could still very well come into being.
Absolutely. And I think that it's really important for listeners to understand that we are talking about the adoption of a new social security fund. So it would not be done in parallel with existing pensions. So, for instance, I contribute 8% to my private pension, my organization, my employer contributes 7%. So 15% is currently being contributed to my private pension. When this fund comes into being, we're looking about 5 to 10 years' time. There would be three different ways of contributing to a pension, but the 12% that we're talking about would be the bulk, would be the only pension contribution for the majority of low-income workers. In addition to that, if people wanted to top up, they would be able to buy private. So two things are really important to remember is that, firstly, all vested rights, all contributions that have been made will continue to be held by the private pension funds. From the point in which the new fund comes on board, there will be a regulation where you would have the bulk of a cross of a fund which would be run by private fund managers for the state, and then additional top-ups for the higher income earners who want to have a higher replacement rate when they retire. So there would be no migration of existing funds into a private, into a state-owned fund. And this would be something which goes forward. The other thing I think that we want to emphasize is that we believe that as a community that this is really important. Many northern countries have national social security funds. It covers, as you said, people from the cradle to the grave. The state would subsidize to some extent low income earners so that we don't have people who fall so out of the social weave of society that we've seen recently that they have nothing to lose and actually see that violence would be the way of advancing themselves. We're looking at a stable future society. But we also want to emphasize that for us as community, it's really important that the debate, particularly around the basic income grant, which was part of the comprehensive social security scheme, continues with the urgency that it needs given the current levels of hunger and starvation. And we come back to the green paper content going forward with the different players with their cards more transparently put on the table.
Isabel, thank you so much. Isabel Fry is the director at the Studies in Poverty and Inequality Institute, speaking to us there about this decision from the Minister of Social Development, Lindiwe Zulu, yesterday to withdraw the green paper on the controversial state pension plan. What are your thoughts on that? Are you in favor? Are you against? It is going to be a long time before it comes into action, but what are your thoughts on that? Do you think it's a good idea? Send us a WhatsApp voice note, 072-702-1702, 072-567-1567.
Hi, Mindy. I like your guest there. She's very clear. Lindiwe Zulu was lynched in public for something that she personally was not responsible for. It's a collective decision that was discussed at NEDLAC, and because it didn't go business way, they made halabaloo. This is how it works in South Africa. Unfortunately, if you don't have the money, you don't have a voice.